You're listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, a military service doing unethical experiments in outer space. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein. With me, as always, is...
It's Mike the Ghoul, hanging out, gonna talk some space.
So today we are going to be discussing the Alien series. We have in the past on the show discussed aliens in multiple forms, but we haven't discussed it with you. And you seemed really interested in doing the Alien series, so I figured we can discuss it, because there's new stuff coming up on the horizon for Alien, along with the fact that otherwise, no one seems to have a fucking clue what to do with this franchise. So...
right. So, yeah, it's a franchise that's pretty near and dear to my heart. I'm a big fan of it. I've been watching it since I was a kid. Saw Aliens far too young, I'm sure, and I've been terrified of them ever since.
Everyone has. If you weren't alive when it came out, you've seen it far too young. In fact, I think some of the people alive when it came out probably saw it far too young, and they were in their 30s. So there are parts of that movie that are quite frightening. It's really good, but it's a movie that really builds upon the idea of less is more. It spends a long time waiting for you to get to the monster, and it doesn't even get to the real monster, the alien giant xenomorph that you know, until like... what, an hour in almost? Most of the movie is over before the big monster is revealed. Before that, we get like the eggs and the face hugger and the chest burster, and it's all freaky.
It's very much like, you know, the formula that was used for Jaws. Like you said, less is more. You know, the less you see the shark, the more you build anticipation.
Yeah.
Same thing with the alien here. You know, you see him burst out the chest burst. There's a little tiny thing, and they're going around with like a net and like, you know, a little cattle prod thinking they're going to handle it. And then when the thing finally appears and you're like, what is this monstrosity? And it's just, it overpowers them.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. It's like, it's an impressive movie, but it's impressive especially for the fact that it's 1979 when this was made. I mean... past a certain point, we just don't even get an alien movie like this in any form, because, like, we don't need to do this with practical effects, we'll just do this all with CGI, and it doesn't feel the same. Admittedly, the fact that, you know, they use some weird puppets and a dude in a suit sometimes is noticeable, but for the most part, the movie holds up because it's all practical.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, you know, with John Carpenter's The Thing and the remake there and the original. Like, practical effects, like, there's a presentation there that really just can't be duplicated no matter how good your CGI is. Then that's not to say CGI doesn't look really good sometimes. It certainly has come a long way. But there's just something about that, you know, the guy in the suit, the less is more, behind the corner, what's lurking, that really made this work back in the 70s and 80s that is kind of lacking now. The scare is there, the thrill is there, but I don't know. It just they keep looking, how can they top, how can they go bigger and better when, you know, the original was really just really good.
Well, and there's no way for them to do like that particular feel of that chest burster scene in the mess after everyone thinks that it's all over and everyone's happy. Like, they did that, stage it that way with practical effects to surprise the people on set so they could get honest reactions. You aren't going to get anywhere near the same like reaction when they go, okay, and now this tennis ball is the thing coming out of his it's just not the same.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel the same, like you said. And there's some good stuff out there, like, you know, the Prometheus movies and the Alien Covenant. You know, say what you want about them. The animations were okay, I guess. You know, but even like back Alien versus Predator, like you know, it just that was where it kind of turned for me. Was it an exciting movie? Was it a fun movie? Sure, it was certainly better than Requiem. but even the way the aliens looked in that, just it, they felt smaller, I guess. Yeah. And I suppose that's what they were doing. You know, Alien 3 kind of took that turn where, you know, he went from, you know, a bipedal to a quadrupedal because of the dog. And now that's kind of the accepted drone of the way they looked, which is not how they were original.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a change. It's a choice. It's fine, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's this whole thing about, and I mean, we've seen this in other movies before, other slasher flicks, other monster movies, whatever. The longer you have a creature around, the less scary it becomes. Right. So with like, and I think some movies handle this better than others. The Predator movies attach this whole like weird tribal heroic kind of thing to the Predator. So while they're the bad guys, it's more, it's not really a villain. Hell, I even struggle to call them bad guys. I would say it's more like they're the antagonists. Because, like, from our from their perspective, we're the antagonists. So there's a more balanced storytelling that keeps them feeling fresh when the movies are done right. Like Prey, which we've discussed here before as a solid sequel. But with the aliens don't have culture. There's nothing like that here. The aliens are much more like The Shape, like Mike Myers or Jason Voorhees, where, you know, the more you explain them, the less interesting they become. The more you use them, the more you have to explain them. And the only movie that ever got that right was Aliens, because James Cameron doesn't bother explaining shit. He's just like, look, more aliens! And then he's like, throws them all at the guys and like, okay, well, you know, they're gonna die or they're not. Let's just do this.
It's an interesting point in that movie, too, when they're talking about, you know, this thing come from an egg and, you know, this comes from a person. But then what's laying the eggs? Like, it lays this question and you're like, wow, I never really kind of thought about that in the first movie. What is laying these eggs?
Yep.
And the reveal of the queen was like, whoa, she's so much bigger, so huge. And, you know, like just terrifying in the way she controls them just by like hissing at them, like almost some kind of like, I don't know if it's a language or telepathy or whatever she uses, but like, you know, this real like, you know, queen bee / queen ant control of her domain where she makes everybody work for her. It's it's kind of scary, man.
Well, and if we're talking about it like in comparison to slasher flicks, even though her character wasn't meant to be a woman, Sigourney Weaver's Ripley is the final girl of the first movie. She survives, she kills the killer, she gets away. Whenever you reuse a final girl, there's always this expectation they're going to survive. Now, the Friday the 13th, for example, they kind of avoided that by just killing everyone. But, like, oh, look, the final girl's here in the first scene of the new movie, and she's dead. Okay, no, but thanks, movie. That was so pointless. But no, like you think, like, the Screams or something, they keep reusing the same characters. For the most part, those characters survive. They've got plot armor. Ripley was expected, at least in the second movie, to maybe have plot armor. So instead of making her the final girl, the introduction of the alien queen is interesting, because now it's her, like, Ripley with her quote-unquote drones, the marines, the jarheads, which, if you talk military parlance, drones. And then it's against the alien queen and her drones, so it's kind of like elevating Ripley in the movie, and she is protecting her brood, which is mostly Newt, against the alien queen protecting her egg. James Cameron, with that story, was brilliant to juxtapose the two against each other to create like balanced factions in a way that none of the other movies have done, in part because they killed off Newt and that's just sad, but and also just like that you can't really pull that trick twice. He got away with it because it hadn't been done, and it gave us a new facet to Ripley, and then where do you go from fucking there?
It's an interesting comparison. Like, they're almost like the franchise kind of pits them as almost two sides of the same coin, right? You know, light and dark, good and bad, yin and yang. And they kind of build off that in Alien 3 when, you know, when Ripley finally does die at the end of the movie, sacrificing herself to kind of end the legacy of the Xenomorph. And
to
then, you know,
save a bunch of shitheads that didn't deserve it.
Right, right. Like, I mean, it's a prison planet with some really bad people on it.
So bad.
You know, and whatever. And then I guess they were like, you know, we can't, you know, let this die. We got to keep suckling at this teat and sell, you know, merchandise. They bring back Alien Resurrection, which is an
It's okay. So, Alien 3 is really well directed for a really shitty movie, and that's all Fox's fault. Like, they got David Fincher, which is great, and he refuses to do franchise films ever again because of this fucking film, and I can't blame him for that. But they got David Fincher, and that was the one smart decision they made. Otherwise, they spent so long retooling and retooling and re-retooling a script that never came together, that Newt aged out of her own role, and instead of being like, well, she matured in the tube, or we've recast her with a different actress, they just killed her off. And that above everything else is the unforgivable mistake of this movie, because Aliens is all about Ripley saving this girl. That is the heart and soul of this movie. And then 15 seconds in, Newt is dead in the third movie, and you're like, what the fuck was the point of any of this?
It was really, you touched on it right there. Like, what was the point? And what this attachment and this feeling you had, you know, this motherly bond from a woman who lost her child because she aged out, being, you know, trapped in space, has a second chance with another child that she can save this time. And then she wakes up, and not only is the child dead, her, you know, possible love interest in Corporal Hicks also dead.
Which is also annoying, because Hicks was fucking great.
He was the man. Michael Biehn. I mean, what a great actor. Like, wonderful in so many roles that he plays, you know, good guy, bad guy. He is just perfect as that, like, that police marine kind of authoritarian figure, you know, that military presence. And he just pulls it off so well.
Yeah, no, it's Alien 3. Like, there's no redeeming quality to Alien 3 beyond the fact that, well, David Fincher directed the shit out of a movie that didn't deserve his talent.
Like you said, it was a choice. I didn't believe the first time I saw it, like, you know, when they're flashing through the scenes of, like, you know, a child, female, you know, X amount age, you know, deceased, and, like, you know, she drowns in the tube, you know, because her lungs couldn't handle the fluid or whatever that puts them to sleep. Like, you would think that that's something that, you know, wouldn't happen.
Right.
Lazy writing, maybe?
We would kind of know this, and maybe they would have a way around. Yeah, that's so dumb.
You know, and then how was Ripley able to bring the cat with her, but the cat was fine, and the child who's a person is not fine? Like, you know, Hicks, I get, you know, impaled when they crash landed. You know, what a way to go. I'm sorry, you know. You deserve better, good sir.
He did deserve better.
So, I don't know. I mean, I love the franchise. I'm always going to have it. I mean, I'm always going to watch it. It's always going to have a special place. The game that's out on Steam, Alien, where you play as Ripley's daughter.
Isolation.
That's a pretty really good game, honestly, when you watch it and play it. Like, you know, there's some quirks to it, and it's a little weird, but it's a good story, and you get kind of a little bit of follow-up of, like, what happened to Ripley's daughter, which you never really find out. Because in the second movie, when she finds out she passed away, she just doesn't want to know because she wasn't there.
Well, it, like,
that had to be a tough choice.
It introduces a weird thing of continuity, though, because for her to get to a space station to deal with the aliens, she'd have to travel through space. And Ripley was traveling through space for a while, sure, but still, how is it that she's been gone for 80 years and her daughter is dead when her daughter had to travel through space to also be... Like, I... the extended media always does this kind of shit, and you're like, But then, I mean... Is it any worse than Alien Resurrection, which is basically Ellen Ripley, like, fan fiction at this point? Oh, we could bring her back and she's part alien now. Yeah, I mean, that, and the thing is, that's not the part of the movie I have the fucking issue with. I've said this before on the podcast. The part of the issue I have with the movie is that it gives the aliens a human reproductive system. And you're sitting there going, how in any way is this more efficient than the eggs?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, no. I guess they're trying to touch on evolution and progress and the species evolving into something more deadly, but it evolves into something very strange. It's
very strange and very dumb. Yeah. And, I mean, give credit to Sigourney Weaver. She tries to act the shit out of loving this weird human-alien hybrid, even when the rest of us have just absolutely tuned out.
It's true.
That thing is revealed, and you're like, well, I'm done with the movie now. And then it picks up a couple minutes before the end when the thing goes out the airlock. She runs up on deck, and someone's like, I thought you were dead, and I get that a lot. And I'm like, that's at least a good line. Thank you for bringing it back around. But God, that was awful.
Yeah, and when she's you know, doing the basketball thing, when the grunts all come there, and, you know, she hits that backward shot. I remember, you know, as a child, like, it just was coming out, like, seeing something on, like, Entertainment Tonight or whatever, and they said that she really hit that shot.
Did it, like, 8 or 9 times and then nailed it. Yep.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, supposed to happen. They just nailed, like, well, shit, we're leaving that in there. That's awesome.
So awesome. Yeah.
but I mean, you know. I hope that we continue to get, like, Ripley again in some form. I'm not sure if Sigourney wants to come back and do it. It'd be nice.
There was a time. There was a time, and then I don't think she's in now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see her go, you know, the Jamie Lee Curtis route of, like, you know, just being now almost what feels like an extra in her own franchise.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about that before as well. So I hope that maybe we get something from Ripley or some kind of closure, because leaving it at, you know, at that 1997, almost, geez, what, almost 30 years now? My God.
Getting towards, yeah.
Yeah, it's the ship has probably sailed, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I wish that we got a little bit more of that Ripley from Aliens and Alien than we got in Alien 3 and Resurrection, where they kind of took her character. But maybe that's just me.
Well, I think that you could bring her back, but she would be a cameo in her own film, because there's just nothing you can do with her at this point that would, like, the actress, I think, doesn't have the physical capabilities at this point. She's, what, 60, getting towards 70 or something? There's no way she can do a physical action movie at this point. I mean, most action stars have to stop doing it when they hit 60 or so, male or female. That's just how that goes with human bodies, but
yeah.
I don't know that's necessary. I mean, the Alien versus Predator movies are not good. The first one's better than the second one, but the first one feels like a video game because it was done by Paul W.S. Anderson, who only does video game movies, and they're all garbage, but it's fun garbage. It is fun garbage, but I'm pretty sure we discussed this. Requiem is nigh unwatchable. It is black on black on black, and you're just like, what did I even watch, and why did I watch it?
I think you brought up the point that, like, you know, how can we hide things that don't look good, just make it darker?
To the point where you can tell they have no budget.
Yeah, and that's another just, like, strange movie, and it ends really weird, and you get Rico Alworth, or whatever her name is, as, like, you know, the supposed star, you know, maybe that next Ripley kind of thing. She was from, you know, from 24, I think she was in as a show, and, like, you know, it was kind of the height of her career back then, or I don't know what she's done since. I'm not trying to shit on her, but, like, it was a strange ending where they crash land as helicopter, but, like, are they safe? Are they not safe? I mean, I don't know. I guess it wasn't as strange as, you know, the Predator ending with the exoskeleton, but I mean, it was still kind of weird.
It's all weird. We don't even need to touch upon the Predator series right now. We can go and revisit that one again at some point as well, because I mean, I'll always talk about Prey, but yeah, like, you got those Alien movies, and then those two, Alien versus Predator, they should have just stolen a plot line from the Dark Horse comic books, paid for Dark Horse's stories, done one of those where it's Colonial Marines against aliens and predators, and just lived with it, you know?
Yeah.
Been done with it that way, and not even bothered with what they did, because that was terrible. I can't say it any other way. But then,
it was a good way to put it, though. Like you said, though, the first one felt like a video game. It had its fun moments. It had its spooky moments. It had its jump scares here and there, and it was kind of cool. But the second one with the Predalien, like you were waiting to see this creature that comes out at the end of the first one. You're like, oh, what's this monster gonna be? And like, this really just questionable decisions on, like, you know, killing the mothers and, like, you know, the pregnancy ward or whatever. Yeah, like, it was a strange choice to, like, you know. I mean, we'll kill women and children now is okay. And I mean, I guess the Predator has morals, though. So I don't know.
I don't know either. It was so strange. Mm-hmm. But then we get the Ridley Scott, too. He's like, I'm going to come back to this franchise that I started. And they were lackluster. I mean, so Prometheus has some interesting ideas, but it doesn't quite understand how to pull off its execution. And for most of it, it doesn't even feel like an Alien movie, which, credit, it's called Prometheus, not Alien. But still, you're like, you know why people came into the theater. And then you, even though you said you were relaunching the Alien franchise, you seem kind of ashamed to be doing an Alien movie.
It's weird, like you said, to have an Alien movie and just not have, you know, the alien. It was much more of a story of, you know, the space jockey and, like, the precursors or whatever they're called, you know, the people that came up with this virus that, like, you know, created life, which led to the alien, I guess. And David's story, I suppose. David as an android and an antagonist is the one redeeming quality from both these movies. Michael Fassbender does an amazing job as an actor. He's simultaneously creepy and charming in the movie, which, like, you know, you kind of look for, I suppose, in a synthetic in this franchise, but he just pulls it off really well. There's a little Magneto in there with a little bit of, like, you know, everything else he does well. Like, he's a good part of it. But other than that, I mean, there's just not much in here that's good.
Well, it introduces a weird life cycle for the alien, and it's like, oh, we're going to have the backburster now. And I'm like, okay, how does this relate to anything we've seen before? And if this is something as a precursor to what we know, you need to give us more explanation, because now you're adding way too much story to this. On top of the fact that, is this supposed to be a prequel to Alien itself, or is this just a random space jockey ship that we're getting? Because the movie's never even clear about that. It's just not clear about anything.
Yeah. It's questionable with some of the writing, and, you know, I'm not a writer. I'm not shitting on people that, you know a little bit more than I do, but it was some weird choices. And, you know, you wait for this reveal at the end, and you think this alien's going to come out, and it's this thing called, like, the Deacon or whatever. It doesn't even look right, you know, maybe it's building to what it's supposed to be. And then in Covenant, you get these white aliens that are, like, you know, almost humanoid looking with this weird kind of face with no eyes. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, the Covenant at least had more gore and more, like, action and so forth. I think that was where the backburster came in. But it's still this thing of, this doesn't feel like an alien movie. We're still missing that essential ingredient. Plus, in the case of Covenant, none of the characters were likable. I was ready for all of them to be dead in the first 10, 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, where is someone who's at least halfway competent like Ripley? Like, the first movie gave us Noomi Rapace, and she was interesting. She had something going on, but goddamn, I didn't care about anyone in Covenant. I was happy when they died.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, on board with really anybody there either. None of these characters really, you know, stuck or spoke to me. I didn't really feel it. And you know, someone else, like, I mean, you know, Elizabeth Shaw, did she get any more of a raw deal?
Oh, what's God, going on here? Right. No.
I mean, it's sad. Like, you know, you think, like, this is this new, you know, Sigourney Weaver heroine role, and then they just kill her off screen and she becomes an experiment. Like, again, okay, it's a choice, but why?
She died on her way to her home planet.
Yeah, like, I mean, David, what are you doing, man? I don't know. It was fine. I like the movies because they're alien movies, and I like the Alien franchise. But
you gotta do them all. You do them all, but
yeah.
Like, Ridley Scott is upset because he didn't get to do his third one, and I think the rest of the viewing public is perfectly okay with it.
I think so. It's you know, I'm looking at some of the stats here. Like, it made $400 million for Prometheus. Like, I think it made a lot early on just on the name of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then Alien Covenant comes out with, you know, what looks like just about, actually less budget. Look at that. Interesting. But it did half as good. Like, it just wasn't a good movie. And it had some interesting lore and interesting, you know, the spores that, you know, lead to the backburster, like you said, and like this life cycle that, you know, David is perfecting, and it's kind of interesting. But it goes from being that alien story to David's story, and I'm okay with that to a degree. But I mean, I just don't like,
it's frustrating. Some of the,
yeah, it's frustrating because I feel like it could have been better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, well, okay, Damon Lindelof wrote the first of those two, Prometheus, and I know he has some good credits under his belt, and I know he was involved in Lost, but from what I know of it, the Prometheus feels like latter Lost and not early Lost. Like, it's like we have a lot of really good ideas, but fuck if I know where to go with it. So we're just going to kind of vaguely end it and do stupid things.
Yeah. It felt like a lot of like throw shit at a wall and see what sticks kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the ending was ambiguous, kind of, sort of, like, you know, I don't really, like you said, we're not going to get a third one anyway, it seems. Nope. You know, I don't know what Romulus is going to be. I haven't really read much on it. I'm trying to avoid till I can kind of get closer and kind of get excited for it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not upset. I'm disappointed. That's all I want to say about
it. That's fair. When you see, like, a series like Predator go into the weeds and then manage to reemerge with a good, solid voice, and, like, Prey comes out, and you're like, yes, that's it. But, I mean, even for all the lows of the Predator series, none of them have felt as bad as the lows of the Alien series. Two really good movies, and then just dog shit for years.
Yeah, there was about a 25-year gap in there where everything was just bad. You know, Predator 2, well, we'll talk about Predator again, like you said, at some other point. Mm-hmm. There's some good moments, even in, like, some of the bad Predator movies. Mm-hmm. But in general, like, you made a good point. It never felt as campy and as bad as some of the Predator things were. It never felt like just as disorganized as Alien felt later on.
So, well, yeah, Fox just thought they had a winning franchise with Alien and Aliens, and it made so much money, and then they just managed themselves into the ground, not even getting a third one out, and then after that, it was just like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Besides more cocaine?
It'll be fine, right?
It'll be more cocaine. It'll solve all our problems.
Yeah, we're gonna turn around. It'll be fine.
I don't know. Like, in my head, the best idea they could do for an Alien movie is still just to, like, go an animated or anime route and just do an alternate universe version where Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, and the girl who played Newt come back, and they just voice those characters in a quote-unquote third Alien movie that ignores every other thing that came out.
Yeah, and I'd be on board with that
because
the actors and actresses could still do their voices. I mean, your voice ages a little bit, but you still sound like you.
Well,
so
and,
I could get on board with that.
You just say they got home, and 20 years later, suddenly there's an alien thing, and then all three of them can go out because they're alien hunters together. Like, there's nothing stopping that from happening.
Man. Yeah, the family that hunts together stays together. Right? You know, this is a missed opportunity, Fox. We're looking at you.
It's right there. I mean, if they're willing to do a TV series of Alien on Hulu, which, don't get me wrong, has the Fargo guy attached to do it, which I think is fucking brilliant. He's a great voice, and he knows how to do long-form serialized storytelling. Let that man direct whatever he wants. But, if you're willing to do that, you're clearly willing to take some risks on unconventional formats. Just do an animated film that picks up. They did a comic book adaptation that would have been, like, the third movie with Hicks and Newt. Just do an animated version of that. And give us the story we actually wanted to wipe the taste of Alien Cubed out of our mouth.
Please, we're asking please. Something that can give this franchise the acceptance and the rebirth that it deserves. Because, I mean, it's a great franchise. I mean, the Alien is one of the greatest movie monsters of all time.
For sure.
So, it deserves better than it's gotten. And stop trying to inject so much CGI and lore into this and just do what works.
Do what works. And with that, this has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, sponsored by Weyland Yutani. I'm Mike Finkelstein.
And I'm Mike the Ghoul, gonna go get some spaghetti and meatballs for dinner.
No, not again. And we will see you all next time.